Hi. Welcome to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Aubrey Mast. We are so grateful that you are here, that you're curious, that you're engaging, that you are questioning, and that you are showing up for conversations around consciousness and liberation and making changes that may not fit inside the box that we once lived. It truly makes that work easier for all of us with each and every one of us doing it and showing up for it. So thank you deeply. Susan and I feel very called to furthering these conversations and furthering the evolution of consciousness. So we have created a community-based forum that's called BeTheEvidence.live. You can find it at www.BeTheEvidence.live. And in this forum, it is jam-packed with all of the tools and the support that Susan and I personally use to get us through navigating these changes in energies. So when you become a member, you get access to Susan texting astrological changes as they happen and giving us handlebars to hold on to so we can navigate those changes in energies. There's also daily astrology readings that are done for the collective consciousness that are tapped in to what the energies are exposing that day. There's also presence practices that are very similar to the things that you hear coming up in the podcast, with actual rituals to use. And there are recipes that help support the changes, whether it be detoxifying or cleansing or grounding into your body, to help your body adjust to the astrological changes as well. There are guided meditations there for you to plug into and listen to whenever you want. They help ground you into this experience of being a human being with amongst all of these changes. There are also daily tarot cards pulled to help give another way of navigating the changes. Susan and I also host weekly live calls for all the members. We recently just did a 2019 overview for all of our members, and we covered the eclipses and the retrogrades and the nodes. And that is really a way that we connect with all of the members and give them a platform and give ourselves a platform for understanding what are the energies that are being exposed and how do we navigate them? How do we surf these waves? If this is something that interests you, we would love to see you. You're welcome to join us at any point in time. We're really grateful that you're showing up in any and every way that you do. Thank you. Enjoy the podcast. Susan and I have recorded a brand new 5-part video series covering the solar eclipse that just happened, and we are talking about all of the ways that we have experienced suppression and the subsequent uprising from suppression. If that's something that's of interest to you, know that it's on our Venmo channel and the link is in our show notes. We hope you check it out. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that sort of feeling. Oh, the achiness. The mind being like super on steroids, I feel like.
Yeah. There is a true battle of the mind going on. Mercury is at Saturn in Capricorn. It's on its way to Pluto and the South Node. It's a battle of resisting programming, mm-hmm. of breaking out of rigidity, but also being serious about what you're dealing with. We're recording this whenever the moon is still in Taurus. It has this in a cradle. So it's North Node in Cancer opposing Sun at the South Node in Capricorn plus Pluto. That's in a cradle to Chiron in Pisces and Moon in Taurus. It's also in a T-square to Uranus and Aries. I feel like there's a whole lot of ache going on, but also it's not letting you sit down. You can't take a nap.
No, so I've been feeling like I'm really clever because we've been doing lots of work together and recording the Eclipse series that's up on the Venmo for anybody that wants to watch it. And then also just doing work within BeTheEvidence.live for all of our members. And so I have been feeling like, oh, I'm clever. I can handle all of this when you and I are doing the work. Like I won't have to pick up any pieces after we're done, after we have left our like space together. I'm funny sometimes. Sometimes I look in at myself and I'm like, oh, you're cute. Like you're really kind of cute. Because what happens is it closes off and then at night I'm like wide open of like, oh, here's all of the aches. Here's all of the pains. Like this, I can't sleep. I'm having them through my dreams. Like I'm moving through it. And like my point in that is that we can't escape this, right? Like this
can't get out of it.
No, it's no matter what you're doing, like you can't escape the aches that call to you to be remedied. It's like having an open wound. Like if it starts itching and festering, like you have to attend to it. And that's sort of space we're in, and it doesn't feel that great.
I do the same thing. I think that I'm hot shit because I got this shit figured out. No, I don't. Right. I mean, I had the astrology figured out, but right. I'm still going to go through the energy just like everybody else. So it hurts and the past is coming up with the vengeance and having to force yourself into self-care, not falling into like diving headfirst into the deep end and going, hey, stop, pull back. You're going too far into this. Stop right. What you're doing. As a matter of mercy for yourself. It's hard. I mean, I really just want to give, oh God, I have an emotional charge about this. I just want to give the collective a hug.
Yeah. It's
hard, really hard.
It is. It's hard, I think, twofold, right? Like it's hard to be a practitioner and hold space while we're witnessing people in this energy. And it's really hard to also go through it. Like it's trying and it is intense. And I think the part that's really even more intense is, for me at least personally, is to provide myself my own life preserver. To be like, I'm going to pull you back. Oh, I'm going to go into self-care. Oh, I see you want to go down that rabbit hole of how everything's fucked. Nothing's ever going to work out. Like, oh, it's all your fault. Oh, the pain, the misery, all of it is coming to get you. That's all you will ever be. And to be like, yeah, remember? We said that was done, so we're walking forward, and I'm going to draw you a bath. We're going to sit down and meditate. Like, while still dealing with, like, the resistance to that, because the reality is, like, we're overcoming programming. Like, it's been a whole lot easier, specifically in my life, and I think collectively, to numb out, to resist, to, like, turn away, to do the opposite thing than to lean into the ache. So as much as we're being pulled towards leaning into the ache and just sitting with it, there's still like that resistance that we're overcoming to how we've always dealt with it.
Right. And you, I think that it's important to figure out how to manage this on a slow burn kind of way, because this isn't going anywhere. South Node is going to remain in Capricorn even after when the sun moves on. Pluto and Saturn are going to go into retrograde phases that are going to hover around the South Node. We have 3 Mercury retrogrades all in water this year. I mean, we're in it.
This is what we're doing.
We're in it. And so I think it's important. I think it's probably wise and pro-survival to go, okay, this is where we live now. So what are we going to do with it?
Yeah.
And a lot of it is breaking out of old patterns. And at the moment, breaking out of old patterns of suffering. I it still blows me away how, as feeling people, we kind of fall in love with our suffering. Like, yeah. Look at what happened to me.
Because
that story is just, I mean, it's got a lot of strength behind it.
Completely. And because it's, right, like it's the one of the ways that we learned how to value ourselves in a system, in a paradigm of suffering, when we could say, oh, I've suffered. I have held hurt. I have gone through the ringer. I have been broken open. It's a way that we use to validate ourselves for the reason why we're here, the way that we could show up. Like, it helped further like who we are as how we understood ourselves. And so to now come out of that, it brings up all of it. And bringing up all of it, there's like this ask of, can you show gratitude for the discomfort, for the pain, for the way that you were in your suffering, the way that I am in my suffering, the way that we made that our story, our rite of passage? And can we equally show gratitude for the liberation that we're inching towards, that we're walking towards, that we're grasping for, right? Like there's like that long game is how do you show gratitude for both without being taken down and under or succumbing to either side?
Gratitude with and dropping being justice driven, yes. I think. When I tell people that Chiron sounds to me like he says, we're going to let that be over now, I was surprised at the reaction I was getting from a lot of people in readings. A lot of people were like, what? You mean we're just going to act like it didn't happen?
Right.
I mean, I have to walk people through, no, we're not going to act like it didn't happen. You get the lessons that you learned. Mm-hmm. It's just not your identity. It's not what's happening in current time.
Right.
You get to move forward and live. It's one of the most surprising things that I have encountered with people is when people say, well, what are we going to do? Are we just going to go skipping through the streets singing songs now? What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you get to live. That's what you're going to do.
Right.
That's even a question, that we don't know who we are outside of our suffering. We don't know how to live outside of suffering. That surprises me.
Well, I think it surprises me, but it also speaks to the fact of like how much we've fragmented ourselves, how many things that we've learned to cling to as our identities, rather than to be in true presence with ourselves, to be in true communion with like our overall consciousness. There was a quote that was, I was trying to pull up when you were talking from Thich Nhat Hanh. And I think it's really poignant to what you're talking about, because it's letting go gives us freedom. It's not saying that our story's over so we cannot be who we are anymore, but it's because we want to choose freedom, right? And that he goes on to say that like, freedom is the only condition for happiness. If in our heart we still cling to anything, anger, anxiety, sadness, possessions, we can't be free. And I think it's learning how to let go of those things in order to experience a freedom, an ecstasy that we collectively have never seen before. And we probably individually have not fully experienced, maybe in glimpses, but not like day in and day out.
It's a way of life.
Uh-huh.
It's that question of why. Mm-hmm. Why would you let go of that story? Why would you let go of the story? Why would you put it down? Why would you stop talking about it? Stop telling that story. Why would you do that? And I don't think that it will hold for very long if you would do it because you should.
No.
Because Susan and Aubrey said I should, so I'm going to do it.
No.
There has to be something more than that.
Well, I think it's the conversation that we keep getting around to of like, well, what do you really believe in? I know I can answer that question. The story of why I would stop telling my stories of suffering is because I'm choosing liberation. In liberation, there's not the story of my suffering. There's the story of me liberating, the story of me leaping, the story of me going beyond what I've ever done before, right? the shoulds are more of our judgments and our expectations upon ourselves, or that we feel like other people have placed on us. That's still living within a cage. It's not choosing from a place of, I'm an infinite being. My consciousness expands beyond just my 3D world.
I feel rebellious about this. Like, I happen to have placements around the galactic center. So it's the feeling, always the feeling of we're going to keep hope alive no matter what.
Right.
Which makes you very aware of no matter what. I mean, it can make you go, even now, really? Yeah, even now. I feel like that's something that's been put on us, and I don't know where it came from. Something has been put on us that we are defined by our suffering. Who said that? Somebody fucked up said that. It should be probably from the divine feminine. Regulus is in Virgo for the next 2,000 years.
Right.
It should be that we're held in what has in our wounds until they heal up, and then we get put back out into the flow of life. Go try again, honey.
Right.
Go try again. Not like, and now, I don't know. Is it a Christian thing? Is it Christianity that says you are a suffering, flawed, sinning person forever? Is it a religion thing?
It's a religion thing, but I also think it's interwoven with the wounded masculine, right? Like this mentality of like, oh, I went to war and I lost my arm, so I'm a true warrior, right? Like, it's like that we, a badge of honor that we could fall on the stake of, oh, I stayed in an abusive relationship too long. Look how worthy I am to be loved now, right? Like, or I stayed.
Oh my God. That one.
Yeah.
Look at how much I've suffered. Doesn't that make me amazing? Right. No. Nope. It doesn't. Right. It makes you a self-harmer.
But it's also like the, I think this like paradigm that we've bought into, and it does, I think, have tenets within religion. And I think it has tenets within wounded masculine of how we have lived in shadow. And now we're in more of the place of the divine feminine rising again, where the divine feminine obviously would say, how have you healed? That's your badge of honor.
That's your story.
Healed? That's your sword. Mm-hmm. Right. But that's not where we have been. And so I think, for most of us, we learned at a very young age to show up and be like, wow, you think that's bad. Let me show you. I'm going to double down on your suffering. And now I'm strong. I'm the worthy one.
That makes you special. How right. much have you suffered? That's how special you are.
Right.
And I'm not at all discounting true pain.
Right.
It does need your attention. I mean, you can't heal it if you don't name it.
No.
If you don't bring the medicine to it, if you don't wrap it in salve and bandages, you got to do something. But this is who I am now is the trap.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think one, you got to be very careful with that of this is who I am now. I get triggered with that statement. How about this is who I am today? This is who I am in this 10 seconds, right? Like to believe that we are these static individuals, that the suffering we've gone through is who we are from that day forward to the day that we die, or that if we choose liberation today, this is who we are going to be for the rest of our time. That removes the fact that we are in constant communion with life itself, with consciousness. As the planets are moving, we are also changing. We have the capabilities in front of us to be choosing that every single second of every single day. And so to be able to write that type of liberation of I'm healing, or I'm moving through this, or I am choosing a new job and it works for me now, but 2 years from now, it may be something different. I think that there's an allowance that happens there for us to feel into. Yeah, we're having this human experience. This human experience is constantly unfolding. And we can also be choosing to be having a spiritual ascension, elevation happening. And that's also unfolding.
It takes a healthy amount of self-centeredness.
Yeah.
When you're at 11:59:59 in this life, do you really want to look back and go, this thing happened to me and I was never the same? I stopped right there. Or at 11:59:59, do you want to be really proud of how you stood back up, let it go, healed it up, and created all kinds of wonder in the world? Regret is an awful feeling.
It is.
I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen to anybody.
Right.
This one thing happened and you stopped right there. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
What? Feels like blasphemous.
Mm-hmm.
You were granted a life and you stopped right there at the hands of some other kind of weird energy that I got a hold of you and you stopped right there. Oh no. I don't think we can do that.
Mm-mm.
I really don't think, I literally don't think that we're allowed to do that. Galactic Center is Sagittarian.
Mm-hmm.
The vision that God or consciousness, whatever, has for humanity is that hope is always alive.
Right.
You always have unlimited possibilities. Always. YouTube is filled with stories of people who like found redemption. They thought they were out. And they weren't.
No, but I think what's really interesting to me is that there's like this preconceived notion that to keep hope alive and that there's always endless possibilities in front of you is a luxury. Right? We've been talking about this within the series. When we were in the institutions, I remember being like, oh, that's nice that other people can become entrepreneurs. They can make their own schedules. They can lead heart-centered lives where they're fulfilling their soul purpose. That's not for me, right? Like in relationships, we've both done it. I would beg that all of us have done it in some sort of time that we've given ourselves away to relationships and been like, oh well, sacred union or really fulfilling relationship, that's for other people. Like there's this belief that it's a luxury to buy into the fact and believe and hold out the expectation of life itself that there are unending possibilities for you. If you're willing to choose them, if you're willing to dream them, if you are willing to have the space dedicated to being an allowance of your communication with things that are bigger than you.
It's the mind. I'm telling you, it's a battle of the mind.
It is the battle of the mind. And your mind is your worst enemy. Like my girlfriend and I, the other day, she called me and she's like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm not well. Like my mind, not so great. Like it's definitely not there. Like I get the ego's there to protect me and preserve me. But a lot of the stuff that goes on in my mind trap is not of my highest good at all.
So my understanding of the ego is that it's there to protect you, to keep you alive. And in order to do that, it has to have something to push up against. And it's your ego that keeps your suffering alive to give it something to do. Because it thinks that if darkness or separation or pain or trauma, whatever, if it goes away, if we let go of it, you will be in a state of pre-woundedness.
Right.
And as far as the ego is concerned, the next thing that's going to happen is the wound.
Right.
If it lets you be free, the first thing that's going to happen is trauma. And so the ego keeps the devil it knows alive.
Mm-hmm.
At least I can name this one. And it keeps pushing up against it. We had eclipses in the axis between Pisces and Virgo. I was saying at the time that ours is not the legacy of the walking wounded. Given the expanse of time, the legacy of humanity will be the walking healed. We went into extreme darkness, lasted 2,000 years, and we came all the way out of it and went back into consciousness and healed ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's going to be our legacy. one way or another. Might as well be now.
Yep.
I think you have to kind of grab the ego by the shirt collar and be like, listen, you're doing an excellent job. Thank you. You're so good and so strong and so powerful. Thank you. But you have got to let this go because you are keeping us in pain. Stop what you're doing. The ego is going to get bent out of shape and be like, I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Completely. I think you got to give it a new job, right? I think the reality is most of us don't know how to self-care relentlessly. Our egos know how to protect us from suffering. Our egos know how to push up against that, but they don't know how to self-care without a moment of relief. Like that you are just, that's who you are. That is your identity. That is everything. You walk and talk self-care, self-love, self-protection, self-worthiness, right? And when I mean protection, I mean like, I'm not going to fill my body with toxic people, toxic chemicals, toxic thoughts, like that type of protection. And to task our egos with that sort of work of how well can I be in my like sacredness? How good can I do it, ego? Show me, like, let's man up the game here.
Mm-hmm. I think that probably relentless, excessive self-care eventually looks like ease and grace.
Completely.
But when you're converting, I think you got to be harsh about it. I think you got to be like, no, stop what you're doing right now. Uh-uh. And just not let any of it slide. Yeah. The moment you catch yourself falling back into suffering or self-harming or keeping a pain alive or identifying with hurt, you have to go, ah, did it again. Stop. Mm-hmm. Stop right now. Stop what you're doing and pull back into caring for yourself. I mean, self-care is called self-care for a reason. It's that you care about yourself.
Right.
There's all kinds of things that you do. Probably you need to invoke rituals so mm-hmm. that it becomes habit, right? All kinds of things you do to self-care, but the root of it is caring about yourself. Do you care about yourself?
Right. It requires the harshness.
Yeah, because it's really mean to keep suffering alive. You're being mean to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's mean. You wouldn't do that to your kid.
Right.
You wouldn't be like, oh, you forgot to hurt. Get back in there and hurt again. Never.
Mm-hmm.
Never. So you can't do it. I think that you have to interrupt doing it to yourself.
You do have to interrupt doing it to yourself. You have to break the pattern. And like it does get easier, I think. Like, and it also is the same thing with changing your diet or beginning to exercise. Or cutting out sugar, right? Like you go through a phase where your brain and your body are like, no, that's all I want to do. Go back to the suffering. I love it. It's amazing. And it's like any type of detox. If anybody's ever quit cigarettes, like all of a sudden you can't stop thinking about cigarettes. Like, oh, everybody's smoking. Did you notice that? And then you get over that hump where it's like, oh man, the smell of cigarettes kind of is gross. I actually don't like that smell anymore, right? Like, I'm not craving them the way I once did. It's the same programming, but unfortunately, it's with our addiction to how much pain we can hold, how much ache we can experience, how much we can withstand and show that we have suffered at the hands of something, right? Like, that makes it even more hard because it requires us to be very diligent with not just our like heart and our like craving qualities, but also with our mind of reprogramming the way that we view the world, the way that we view ourselves, the way that we are viewing a consciousness, a liberation, an intuition that we may not have always allowed.
When you describe when you were just describing, look how much I've been through.
Right.
Man, in my head, all of that equates to strength. Mm-hmm. And I just caught myself going, see how all of that sounds like strength?
Yep.
It's jacked up.
Right. Yeah. I think we are learning or we're on the precept of learning that strength is bound in
How well do you take care of yourself? Mm-hmm. How much do you show up for your heart when you are mourning, when you are sensitive? How much do you show up for your body? What kind of ease do you take with your mind when it goes and takes you into the dark places and you have to pull it back? Do you go into a harsh judgment or do you say, come on, sweetheart, but we're not there anymore. Sit down. I'll show you what we're doing now. Like, that is going to be, I think, that the image and the aspiration of true strength of how do we form a communion in such a sacredness that we've never experienced before.
And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's religion. Maybe it's toxic masculine. I don't know what it is. And I'm not sure I have to name it. But mm-hmm. I strongly suspect this has been taught to us on purpose.
Yeah.
And that makes me go, oh, well then no. Huh. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not doing that.
I think it's whatever place you need to get into. Of like, if you have to name it, or if you just get to the place where you're sick and fed up of it, right?
Like, yeah, I am so sick of this. I can't even stand it. Right?
I am tired of this. I cannot take any more of it. One more ounce of it and I will throw up everywhere. Like, literally, we're done. Right? Like, whatever you have to do to get to that place of like, oh, you want me to go into suffering to show you how strong I am? Fuck you. I'm done. Right? Whatever it is to get you to there so you can hold that line of, and no, we are not doing this anymore. My strength comes from how well I can take care of myself in all areas.
Yeah. So, you know, any kind of messaging that says you can never be free of your trauma. You can never, you can't undo it. You can go watch me. Mm-hmm. Here we go. I'm about to show you.
With your middle finger up in the air.